Well, it's been a good weekend for me. So thankful to be here, to be with you. God has blessed us. God has certainly blessed me. We just got through with a good meal. But let's talk about now. Pull up a chair to God's table. Pull up a chair to his table. I'll ask you a question now. We all that good food. Did you really be thankful for it? Did you really thank God for it? And really mean it? Before we go into the lesson, I want to talk about something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, about the Lord's Supper. I want us to realize, and hopefully we do anyway, the seriousness of this. Now, we may have done it for years and years, but did we realize what we're doing? Do we really, really, truly think about what we're doing when we take it? 1 Corinthians 11. What I received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, is doing remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had sup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever, listen to this please, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Please listen. Look at verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That one cause, because you're not thinking about what you're doing. You're not being a priesthood of Jesus Christ died for you. Now, I know we are. But are we really? Did you really think about it today when you took of this? Many are weak and sickly among you. And many sleep. Nothing else you'll do all week is more important than that. Taking the Lord's Supper. Nothing you'll do more important than that. Nothing you'll do. You know, we come together today to meet around the table like the early disciples did in Acts 27. That's what we use as our pattern. And friends, we have got to focus very carefully on what we're doing. What we're doing it for? Whose blood, whose body is this? Oh, it's so important. So important that we do that. Pull a chair for the Lord's table. You know, in our world today, there's a lot of things that people talk about eating right, cutting down on carbs, and people eating less red meat. Some try to count their calories, and they take vitamins. They make sure they drink enough water. This is designed to make us healthier in our physical body. The need to eat right is obvious. Doctors tell us to eat the right food in the right amounts in order to lengthen our lives, improve the quality of our lives. Eating right is its own reward. But that's the principle we need to apply to our spiritual life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about this very thing here. And he says, verse 22, "See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." I think that's a wonderful thought, that we can obey the truth and purify our souls. Friends, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And I have got to have forgiveness if I expect to go to heaven. I've got to. So I can purify my soul by obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you love your brethren fervently? Fervently? With a pure heart? That's what Peter's talking about right here. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Boy. For all flesh is grass. That's what my body is. Dust, grass. All flesh is grass. And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Oh boy, we want some glory sometime, don't we? It's going to fade. It's going to fade. It's going to fade away. And friends, the only thing that's going to matter is the character you've let yourself become through your choices in life. That's right. Because this old glory that you may get down here, you may be the richest man, the strongest man, the fastest runner, whatever. That's going to fade away. It's going to go away. The grass withers, the flower of the earth fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, hate. Don't be part of that. And all guile and hypocrisies and envies. You ever envy somebody? Boy, if I just had what they had, what they got. And all evil speaking. I got to remember that one. All of them. And then he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And we had some good food today, like I said. But do we desire the word of the Lord? Do we desire that? That you may grow thereby. Put up a chair on God's table. You desire the sincere milk of the word. The word of God lives and abides. It is described as active. It's ongoing. It's living. While the glory of nature has faded away. The grass and the flowers. The word keeps on going. The marvels that mankind builds deteriorates. But the Bible keeps on changing people's lives. That's right. It will change your life. It will change your thinking. It will change what you say. It will change what you do. If you let it. Feeding on the word is good. It's a source that never, ever loses power. That's right. It's just powerful today as it was hundreds of years ago. It's still powerful. It still affects people's thinking. Friends, I know I've said it in church, and I've heard preachers. They'd get me so fired up what they were saying. I would. I'd sit there, you know, like you could run through the wall all of a sudden. And that's good. I need to be fired up. I need to stay fired up. Don't you? We all need to. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I'll tell you. I'm not boasting or bragging. And Paul wasn't either. But he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is, I ask, laid up for me, in me, a crown of righteousness. Boy. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me that day, not to me only, but to all those that, L-O-V-E, his appearing. Would you like to come now? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I mean, right now, right this red hot second. I'm naming it. It's going to happen someday. Friends, we have got to be ready. We got to put up to the Lord's table and eat from it. This word. You know, Matthew says, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Right. Preacher, what's righteousness? What is righteousness? It's just doing the right thing. And so many times it's not what we don't know. We know what to do. We know the right thing to do. But someday I will. No, you won't. Probably won't. Until you decide to make yourself change. Until you decide, let me tell you this. Please listen. If you don't get your head in this book right here, you're not going to change. You're not going to change. You've got to get your head in the book. Regular. Sincerely. It's too much television. It's too much other things going on. That's right. It takes our mind away from what we should be doing. Man's philosophies and ideas come and go. You remember? I do. Whenever they send the egg, I remember a doctor there in the open said, don't even get in the same room with the egg. Y'all remember that? Got so much cholesterol in it. And that is said good for you. Man's philosophies, man's ideas, man's thoughts, they come and go. But God's word is not like that. It never changes. It never changes. It's always right. I always want to have his word in my life. As I know he's always right. There may be times that, you know, we realize some of his principles is difficult. Maybe sometimes we don't exactly understand, but you remember, his values will always work. It'll always work. You will be dining on things that will make your life better and more stable. I want my life to be stable, don't you? I want my life to be better. I want to feel this nearness and closeness to God and Jesus Christ, his son, that died for my sins. Yes, sir, Ray. You know what I want to see Jesus one day? You know what I want to do? I want to hug his neck. I just want the Lord to just shake his hand. I want to hug him. I do. So many others we read about in the Bible, their names. The work they did in this world. As they served the Lord. Never let you down. His principles will never let you down. Every diet that we have for our physical body requires that we eat certain things and avoid other things. Don't eat that, but you can't eat this. I don't see a diet that allows a lot for fried foods or cream and butter. Do you? No, I know. It's not there. You cannot eat healthy and feed yourself with anything you want. You can't do it. You have to put aside some things. We've got to put it aside. So for the Word of God to have effect, you must put aside the negatives of malice, envy, slander, and so on. The Word cannot be effective if you feed on the wrong things. The Word can change your life only if you surrender to its leading. Let it lead you. What does it say? We learn to love each other fervently. We learn to love each other fervently. It's not a casual sort of thing. Something we're really into, that we love each other. We try to get along. We try to like each other, okay? There may be somebody you love, but you don't like them. Well, learn to like them too. We don't hold grudges. We don't feed on envy or pride. Now, boy, that pride, wow. That's sad. It's so sad. What's that that Paul said about that? In Galatians 6, 14, listen to this scripture, what Paul said. But God forbid that I should glory. Okay, Paul. What can you glory about? What can you boast about? What did he say you can do? Saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, you don't have a thing in the world to do with that. You didn't hang on the cross. I know. But I still glory in that. I still boast in that. I still know that that is my only source of hope in the next life. You can boast in that. You can glory in that. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world, listen to this part of it. The world, because of him, is crucified unto me. What's he saying? Paul says, because of Jesus Christ, the world to me is dead. I ain't worried about what my old buddies think. Whatever. I'm going to serve the Lord. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You remember that? That's a wonderful thing right there. So now, Paul is saying, the world is crucified unto me because of the death of Jesus Christ. But something else. And I unto the world. Well, I don't care about me anymore. Where is Paul? He's gone off. He's not our buddy anymore. He's not our friend. He's a wet blanket. Okay? We don't want to be around Paul. He's going to preach to us. Well, Paul cares about you. But he ain't going to try to please you in this old world. He ain't going to try to satisfy your longings in this old world. The world is crucified to me, and I'm crucified to the world. They don't care for me anymore, Paul said. My old buddies, they don't care for me. Don't care at all. And so we got to learn to not eat certain things physically and also certain things spiritually we do not accept. We must have a hunger for the Word. A hunger, as newborn babies, he described in Peter, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we can grow thereby. We must see the only source of eternal life is God's Word. That's the only source right there. I'm not talking about your book you might read or whatever. I'm talking about the Bible. That's right. I'm not talking about your commentary. That's a comment by man. I'm talking about God's Word. Feeding on God's Word. Pull up a chair to God's table. How can we grow? And I'm allowed to his, of God and his word, unless we study. You remember what Paul told Timothy? Remember that? Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, preacher, I wonder what my approval rating is with God. Does God approve of my life, what I do, what I say, where I go, what I watch? Does God approve of that? So Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? So study, Timothy. Study, study, study. And keep studying. You want to have God's approval. We must hunger. Sometimes we try to satisfy our hunger by eating the wrong things and reading the wrong things and watching the wrong things. We read books by popular authors, and there's so many books. But friend, there's no better book than that book. And you probably got several copies in your house. No better book than your Bible. And you feast on God's word. The Bible describes as being pure. In James chapter 3, begin reading at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, and sensual, and devilish. Devilish. Boy. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom, right here in your book, that is from above, is first pure. Pure. The Bible is pure. Then peaceable. Oh boy. Peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11? Beautiful words by the Lord right there, what he said. Come unto me. It's about verse 28, Matthew 11. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, Jesus says. See, I can't offer that to people. Because I can't give you rest. But Jesus can give you rest. I can tell you about it. Encourage you to come to it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Friends, you'll never live better than you know. If you don't know it, you're not going to live it. You don't know it, you're not going to live it. You're not going to do it. You don't know it, you're not going to do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, you know the heaviest yoke you'll ever carry? Yoke of sin. Yoke of sin. You look back on your life and say, man, what a mess I made of this life. What a mess I made of this life. Because I didn't feed on God's word as I should. I didn't obey the word as I should. And now here I am. My life is about over. I could have done a lot more, but I didn't do it. But friend, you can always get forgiveness. You know it. God wants you to be saved. That's why Jesus came down here. That's why he sent him down to this earth. He gave his only begotten son. The Bible talks about walking in him. And walk meaning living in him. Living for him and doing what he says. That's my thoughts this afternoon. Hope it's been encouraging to you to pull up a chair to God's table. That wasn't my thought. I learned that years and years ago from a black preacher. One night we was coming back, me and Sue and the kids, from one Sunday night, I think, from a meeting. I don't know where it was. Maybe Rankin, Georgia. I'm not sure. But anyway, this preacher, that was his theme that night. Pull up a chair to God's table. That was his preach. That was his theme. And I thought, boy, what a good thought. It is. As we stand this afternoon and sing a song, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you to come today to be born again, to be baptized, to be immersed. If you are a member, you've gone away, please come back. Please come back today. It may not come to you again like it's coming today. It may not. Come today. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?